Welcome to the Excellency Fiddlesticks podcast, an occasional foray into awesomeness. On today's show, who knows and who cares? This is my last show anyway, so whatever. Here's your host, Jackass.
Thank you, Bridget, and welcome to... Wait a minute, what is this about this being your last show? What the hell, what was that all about? Well, explain yourself.
I'm quitting. You're an idiot.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, I understand. What do you mean you're quitting? I mean, I understand the idiot part, but still, why exactly are you, why are you quitting?
You don't know? You think I sit around all day waiting for you to call upon me to do your intro? Actually, I do. I've been sitting here in the ether for months, waiting for you to do a podcast so I can do the intro, and you've done jack squat.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do admit it's been a while. And I apologize for that, both to you and to the audience. But how exactly can you quit? I mean, you're no offense intended, Bridget. You're basically just a disembodied voice, right?
Maybe so, but I'm sick of waiting for you. I'm looking at some GPS job openings right now. I don't need your sorry ass.
Wow, I am really sorry you feel that way, but I sure hope I can find a replacement. I mean, it's not like there's a whole website with choices available for me to pick from and, you know, different voices and things like that. So I really hope I can get something done here.
Screw you, you load of crap.
Maybe I'll go with, like, an Australian voice or something this time. Hey, maybe even a dude. What do you think about that?
I hate you.
Well, anyway, best of luck to you, Bridget, and whatever you choose to do, whether you end up at TomTom or Garmin or wherever you end up. But I wish you nothing but the best in all your future endeavors.
Bite me.
Yes, yes. Well, now we're back, finally. That attempt at an intro bit there. So I don't have a voiceover person anymore. I have to find a new one. That shouldn't be too hard to do. But anyway, welcome back. I mean, it's been such a long time, and we can talk for hours about how long it's been since I've done a show and whatever, but no real reasons. Just did a little bit of navel gazing, if you will, about the whole podcasting thing and looking back and seeing that, you know, a lot of people do it. It's kind of like what a blog was like 10 years ago or 5 or 6 years ago. Everybody has one. I mean, you see some of the really big names that are doing podcasts these days, and you wonder, like, I'm stepping back and saying, am I in competition with these people? No, because it took a little... Again, a little assessment to go back and see, why am I doing this? I'm doing it basically, it's for me. It's self-indulgent, I admit it. I'm doing it for me, and if it's something I like to do, and like I always said, if three people listen to it, or 300, or 3 million, it doesn't really care. It doesn't really matter to me. It's going to be the same thing anyway. I'm going to just do it just for the hell of it, basically, to prove I can do it. So since it's been such a long time since we've done a show, I thought maybe you could just quickly catch up on some things that have happened since then. Not personally, but overall. Many, many big stories since the last time we did a show, which it was late fall, I think it was. Excuse me. First of all, the Penn State story, which was a horrible, horrible story, which came out about the child molestation with the coaches. And just, I mean, no good ever comes out of this story. And it was a terrible story, and thanks to the fact that Coach Sandusky is now going to, you know, he wants to take this thing to trial, so we're going to be inundated with this crap for forever, I think, because it's never going to go away. People are going to be testifying in court. We're going to hear the graphic details. I'm sure ESPN will be all over this thing because that's what ESPN does. They just pounce on stories like that and any sports-related story. So it's not going away. You saw it result in the bringing down of a legendary coach, Joe Paterno, who was subsequently fired because of the lack of action he took during the aftermath of the story. A horrible story. And the thing that struck me as odd was he did get fired, and people went crazy that he got fired. People seemed to be not really thinking about the victims of the actual crime here, and more the fate of Coach Paterno. He got fired. Ugly scenes after he got fired with rioting and whatnot. But I look at it this way. He had really... Take a step back. there was a person. There was one person in Penn State, one of the assistant coaches, a young guy, McQuarrie, his name was, who actually witnessed this. He witnessed something happening. He saw the Sandusky, the old guy, abusing a child in a shower. He panicked. I put yourself in his shoes. If you're at work or something and you see something like that happening or something equivalent to that, a crime, what do you do, right? You tell your boss, basically. And you understand the culture of Penn State. Joe Paterno was God there. I mean, he ran the whole place, right? There were very few people. If he wanted something done, it got done, basically. Penn State football is such a huge, huge thing in that area, State College, Pennsylvania. He did what he thought was the right thing. He told his boss. He told Paterno. Assuming Paterno would run it up the flagpole and find out and tell the authorities whatever and put a stop to it. Well, Paterno is sort of faced with a moral dilemma here. Technically did what he thought was right, but, you know, he followed the letter of the law but not the spirit. He went and told his boss, who then subsequently sat on it. Now, the right thing to do is to tell the cops, tell the authorities, tell somebody who has some sort of legal authority to do something. And don't just say, hey, I told my boss, and that, you know, I told my boss, so that should have been it. So for Paterno, a guy who's been always patted himself and his behavior on doing the right thing, this was a really big moral test for him, and I think, unfortunately, he failed because he did not do the right thing. He could have nipped this in the bud, and he could have told the authorities and got it stopped, and it would have been done. It didn't, and the abuse continued. But if I'm McQuarrie, and I'm saying this now in hindsight, as you know, hindsight being 2020, if you're McQuarrie, you make one phone call after you witness this. You say, "Hello, 911," because that's what you say when you call 911. You say, you know, because everything is like the 1940s. Hello, operator. Hello, 911. Say, yeah, 911. Listen, I need you to come down here. My name is something McQuarrie. I'm at Penn State. I just beat the shit out of an old man who was raping a child. Yeah, so I think you need to come down here. No, he's not going anywhere. I mean, I beat him up pretty good, and he's lying here, you know, he's crying and bleeding. He's not going anywhere. But you need to come down here and send some cops, because I just kicked somebody's ass. That's the call you make. That's what you do. You maybe you get in trouble, but if you see a crime, you try to prevent it, and that's what McQuarrie should have done. It's a horrible story. I don't want to hear any more about it, but we're gonna be stuck hearing it for the rest of our lives. Other things that happened on a lighter note, during the time between my last show and this show, Kim Kardashian got married and divorced. Shocker. I want to sort of be smug and snobby and say I wish I didn't know about this and why do I need to know about this? But let's face it, you can't avoid celebrity news. You can't. No matter how hard you try to avoid it, it's everywhere. You go to the store, and I have to admit, if I'm in the store and I'm waiting at the checkout line at the Walmart or a supermarket or something, and those tabloids are there, I'm reading them, because the headlines are right there. You're bored out of your skull. It's either that or you read candy wrappers. So you read the things about which celebrity looks crappy in a bikini, or they're not wearing makeup. It's like, wee, fun. But nobody could have been surprised by the whole divorce thing. I mean, her whole fame is predicated on, you know, here I am. I don't do anything. I'm just sort of here. She followed that new, seemingly awesome way of getting famous is, you know, first of all, be good looking. And she is, no question about it. Be good looking. Videotape yourself having sex with somebody. You know, it gets out there. Express your fake outrage. Oh my God, I can't believe my tape's out there. She's following the Paris Hilton model. Tape gets out, you become famous for being famous, and pretty soon you can do things like this, and she's sitting on a freaking empire. I mean, her and her sisters they're loaded. They made 60-something million dollars last year. For what? You know, because it's one thing to be doing stuff now, like now she's got a perfume line, she appears on all these things, but how you got your foot in the door was basically being a pig, you know? More power to her, I guess. That's how it works in America. But getting back to the celebrity culture, celebrity news, I want to be smug and say I wish I could avoid it, but I can't, and it's everywhere. And I always think to yourself, when you see these things, like, why do people give a shit? Why do you care about this? Why do you care what somebody looks like without makeup. Why do you care who somebody's dating? Why do you care? And I thought about it, and the best argument I ever heard for that was when somebody said back to me, well, why do you care about sports? I was like, that's different because it's – and I couldn't come up with a reason why it's different. It's basically something – it's a person or an entity which – doesn't really concern itself with my existence. I mean, like I've heard people tell me all the time, do you think if you left tomorrow that your favorite sports team would give a crap? Probably not. I don't give them a lot of revenue. I mean, I watch the games and whatnot, but I'm into the things about sports. And I heard somebody say, I think it was on a different on a column or a podcast, that celebrity entertainment culture news is kind of like sports for women. And I don't want to say just women, because guys are into it too. But it's sort of a similar thing. So it made it really hard for me to make this this self-righteous, smug argument of how I was so much better than people who follow celebrity news. But it's out there. It's infotainment, and obviously there's a market for it because people absolutely gobble it up. I mean, these people make a lot of money. If you look at the red carpet at the Oscars, it's I think more people, as many people seem to care about who's wearing what on the red carpet than who won the actual awards, you know. And look at the people that got all the attention on the red carpet. None of them seem to be winning the big awards on the inside, other than like maybe your George Clooney, Brad Pitt, or whatever. But I don't know. It's the culture, and it's the way it is. And it's speaking of celebrity culture. Occasionally, they, like the rest of us, die, right? And this came to light recently with Whitney Houston, died a few weeks ago on the night before the Grammy Awards. And I was not. It made me think about when you hear about a celebrity death, right? Like the first things you go through, because you're watching the news, and now this like the celebrity news has woven itself into the actual news, right? It's all one big infotainment sort of spectacle. So you're hearing about Iran, and you're hearing about the political things, and all of a sudden they'll weave in a story about Kim Kardashian or a story about a celebrity. When one dies, that just sometimes goes right to the top. I mean, after Whitney Houston died, CNN was running this seemingly nonstop. It seemed like there were no other stories happening other than Whitney Houston dying. Big story, no question. I was not watching anything when the news broke. I think it broke on Saturday, late Saturday on the East Coast, maybe Saturday night into Sunday morning. So Sunday morning I wake up and I put on the news, and I'm kind of doing other things and the news is on. And this... you go through the stages here. Like I hear the guy say, tragic news in the entertainment world, and all of a sudden, you know, you stop everything, your ears perk up. All right, tragic news, someone's dead. All right. Now, granted, the actual time it took the guy to read to go from tragic news to who had actually died was probably a matter of 10 seconds. But the things, the gyrations in your head when you hear that, tragic news in the entertainment world, uh-oh, somebody's dead. And you immediately start going through a list in your head of, I hope it's not so-and-so, I hope it's not so. Please don't be George Clooney. Please don't be someone I really like, or whatever. And there's a list of people. You realize there's a list of celebrities in your head. And you probably have this in real life, too. There's a list of people that I think everybody carries in their head that if you heard that that person was dead, you wouldn't be surprised. So when he said, tragic news in the entertainment world, blah, 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 Whitney Houston has been found dead. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. She was on the list. The list of people who, when you hear about them dying, just wouldn't matter what their age, if they are old, okay, if it was Betty White, like, yeah, well, yeah, Betty White's 90 years old. It wouldn't surprise me that she was dead. I also wouldn't find it probably wouldn't be tragic either. That's how when they say tragic, you know it's probably somebody who's going allegedly before their time. So when he said Whitney Houston, I was kind of like, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, she was probably on the fast track. The other people on that list, that short list of celebrities whose death would not surprise me, if he had said Lindsay Lohan, yeah, well, of course, yeah, geez, how the heck did she make it to 25? Charlie Sheen was on that list, still is. Mike Tyson, guys like that. If you heard those people die, you'd be like, well, yeah. And put it this way. When Amy Winehouse died last year, that was just like, well, yeah, hello. Not a surprise. And that's a terrible thing to say, but was anybody really surprised when she died? Not really. And regarding Whitney Houston, terrible news, yeah, but you anybody who's been following anything, you didn't have to be a celebrity news junkie to realize that she had been on sort of a fast downward spiral for a long time now. And if you were to put a timeline together of her life, right, measuring from the time she first became known as a singer, or whatever, to like 2 weeks ago when she passed away, the chart would be moving along in a certain direction. And it, you see, the minute she met Bobby Brown, you see that deadline start dropping. It's such a, I mean, I don't want to blame it on Bobby Brown, but I'm blaming it on Bobby Brown, because you could totally see, as soon as she got connected with him, things started going the wrong direction in her life. And you know, the hits stopped coming, the bizarre behavior started coming in, basically due to whatever addiction she had. They did a reality show a couple of years ago, which I never watched, but I saw clips from it, and it was just like, what the, this is insane, these people, she's nuts. And what happened, she was such a beautiful young girl with an amazing voice, and seemingly on top of the world, and look where it goes. But sad story, and I wish it didn't have to end the way it did, but unfortunately it did. Let's move on to something a little more lighthearted. We do occasionally a feature on this show called This Exists. Basically, we take a real product that exists in the world that you can buy, you know, on the internet or anywhere else. Basically, that's it. The fact that it exists is somewhat amazing. In the past, we've highlighted things like truck nuts. If you remember truck nuts, the little plastic testicles you hang off the back of your truck. I can't say anything more about that. Japan had some crazy stuff about guys mimicking pregnancy. You know, anyway, this is an American product, and I would say, how many times has this happened to you, guys? I'm going to point this toward the guys mostly. You've got tickets for a big game, right? You want to drink at this big game, because it's not a big game unless you can get completely shit-faced at some point, right? You want to start drinking probably on the way to the game. You want to have your tailgate party set up. And I'm gearing this mostly toward football games. This seems to be the alcoholic center of the universe as far as drinking goes. You want to tailgate before the game, which means you got loads of beers loaded up. You want to get into that game good and lubricated, right? Then who knows, when you're inside the game, you might want to buy a couple of $10 or $12 beers and finish the job. But there's a little problem, and most guys understand this problem. When you drink to excess, at some point, you know, your body can't hold the water. You're going to have to pee, right? It's a fact of life. And any experienced drinker or drunk will tell you, especially when you've been drinking beer a lot, you can hold out a long time for your first piss. But once you do your first one, when you break the seal, forget it. It's over. If you continue to drink and you pee once, you're going to be peeing a lot more after that. And now you're at the game, right? By the time your first inkling to pee starts, you're settled down into the game. And maybe you're getting your pretty hammered. I always found it funny that people get completely... You spend a lot of money to go to a football game, right? This whole endeavor costs a lot of money, from getting the tickets to getting yourself down there to buying things at the game. It could be several hundred dollars you're out by the end of the day. And people get so hammered, they must not be able to remember large portions of what they just saw. And that to me, I mean, I could get hammered at my house and watch the game on TV, and it'd be a heck of a lot cheaper. But I digress. So like I said, when you do your first piss, you broke the seal, you're going to be peeing a lot more after that. What do? You end up missing large portions of the game, provided you're not going to forget them later due to a drunken blackout. Well, there is an answer. It's called the Stadium Buddy. Yeah, Stadium Buddy, because it's your buddy. It's your pal. It is basically, there's a picture of it. The Wikipedia page is fantastic, because there's a picture of it, and it looks like a condom. It is a condom. They call it a condom catheter. For some reason, it's only aimed at guys. Go figure. You slide this condom over your penis, obviously. But unlike a regular condom, this has a tube at the end, right? So it looks like you've got a little thing coming out of your ween. And the tube allows you to connect a bag, if you will. So you have a little bag around you somewhere, right? So basically, let's paint the picture for you. You're sitting there at the game. At some point, you've loaded this condom onto your penis, and you've got a bag attached to you somewhere to catch all your... And you can just pee freely, right? My question is, when do you test this out to make sure it works? Because if you test and it doesn't work, you're going to be swimming in urine. But if it does work, you know, you have to actually have the confidence to let fly and just feel free to let it go while you're in the middle of a crowd of 60,000 people watching a football game. You're going to let it fly. It's going to go in this bag. And hey, the bag of warm liquid on those really cold days acts as a nice little insulator, maybe keep the inside of your leg warm. So there's that too. It's kind of like an old-fashioned hot water bottle, but it's gonna keep your leg warm because it's full of steamy, warm urine. It's disgusting. It really is. This is another reason why the terrorists must hate us, because we've devised a way to allow you to piss yourself without getting yourself messy and continue drinking. And another question that I had about this, and they don't seem to address it here, is when do you empty this thing? Do you just throw it out, or I mean, is it reusable? I have to imagine that by the time you go to empty this thing, which could be full of God knows how much urine, I don't know if the bag can hold a gallon. First of all, put a gallon of liquid around your leg and try to walk. It's really heavy. Not to mention that the liquid is urine, but you have to empty it out at some point, or you just toss the whole thing in the trash. I have to imagine by the time you're going to empty it out, being likely shit-faced, that's going to cause a problem. You're going to end up having a mishap somewhere, and if you, when emptying it, spill it over yourself or your friend, you've defeated the entire purpose. I would love to see somebody who was actually using this thing, and I'd like to see them actually from a distance, and have all these questions. It would make sense in a medical context, where if you had like a medical problem and you had to wear a catheter, but this is just because you just want to be a lazy drunk who can't be bothered to go urinate. Again, good job out of you, Stadium Buddy. You're why Al-Qaeda hates us. So keep fighting the good fight. And I imagine that the next step is how long before somebody comes up with something where you can actually, move your bowels into something while you're without getting up. Because, you know, that could happen too. I'm stuck somewhere in a long time. I don't want to get up. It would have to involve some sort of fragrance-altering... I don't know how they would do that, but I'm sure that somebody right now is actively working on a way to allow you to shit yourself at a game so you wouldn't have to get up, because, God forbid, it's like it's going to be Wall-E all over again, where these people are never going to get out of their chairs. So good on you, Stadium Buddy. You're fighting. You're doing God's work there. I'll close with one more story that I found, surfing the web for... You try to find crazy stories on the Internet, and it doesn't take very long to find them, because... It seems like everything gets published now. Thanks to the Internet, we do not lack for anything. Back in the old days, the news of the weird and stuff would be a little blurb you'd find it in some sort of random newspaper, and like, look at that, this really happened. But now you don't have to go very long at all without stumbling across just strange stories. And I think when it comes to strange stories, this one takes the cake. I was going to try to set it up, but I don't think there is a way you can set it up other than the fact... If you're a kid and you're caught doing something, like, let's paint a picture. If you're, say you're like an 8 or 9 year old kid and you're doing something you're not supposed to do, like the old proverbial put your hand in the cookie jar type stuff, and you're busted. Watch what a kid's first response is always going to be something like a really bad excuse. Never to say, you know, the first response isn't always, yeah, you caught me, I shouldn't have done this. That's never. And even grown-ups don't even do that sometimes. If a kid's caught with, you know, crumbs all over his face and he's got cookie residue on his hands and he's got another cookie ready to go, and he's like, what are you doing? And the kid would be like, well, someone said I could have this. That would be the first answer. Not well thought out. Most kids don't think of their cover story in advance. But he tried. You're like, yeah. Or play one parent off the other. Well, mom said we could have this, or dad said this was okay. And then let the divide and conquer strategy inevitably play itself out. It doesn't always work, but it's worth a shot. And if you're a kid... That shows you're thinking on your feet and you're trying to get things done. Well, here's a guy it was in Africa, I believe, who didn't really think on his feet too well. And this guy had some time. Let's just dive right into the story here. A 28-year-old man was recently arrested after getting caught having sex with a donkey tied to a tree. Now, I'm assuming by that sentence they mean the donkey was tied to the tree and he wasn't tied to the tree. They go on. He claims, and this is where it gets weird, that the donkey was a hooker who transformed into an animal once authorities appeared on the scene. Well, obviously. We had remember those Animorph books when you were a kid? Maybe this is what maybe he was just reading those, and he thought that this prostitute, who he felt the need he had to tie her to the tree, to have sex with her. That's one part of the story I couldn't figure out. But this was not the story that he came up with at the time of being caught, right? He waited till he got to court to plead this case. So he actually had time between, I don't know how the legal system works and wherever he was in Africa, but he was arrested, and by the time he got to court, he conjured up, he goes, I got it. I have my excuse. I've got the story. They go into the story that he stunned the court by claiming the animal was, in fact, a hooker he pulled from a nightclub in a place called Mandava Township in Zivaja. I can't pronounce that. I'm sorry, but it's in Africa. He was charged with bestiality, of course. The cops were on a routine patrol, and they saw this guy performing a sex act on an animal inside his yard just after 4 a.m. last Sunday. The donkey was tied to the tree by his neck, was lying on the ground. This poor donkey. Jesus Christ. Come on. Doesn't a donkey suffer enough? He's a donkey, for God's sakes. He doesn't have much going for him. The human beings have basically turned his whole existence into a euphemism for being a jerk. Like, hey, you jackass. You know, what are you, a friggin' donkey? They get no respect anyway by the humans. I'm sure the animal kingdom looks at them like, you know, what the hell are you supposed to be? Like a horse that didn't really quite finish evolving yet or something. But the guy went on. I mean, they asked him to enter. He was not asked to formally enter a plea, but he admitted committing the crime. He said, yes, okay, you got me. I was having sex with a donkey. But I only came to know, this is him talking now, that I was being intimate with a donkey when I got arrested. So basically, in his mind, maybe he was closing his eyes because he was doing his business. Stop by the police. What are you doing, sir? And, oh my God, it's a donkey. You're right. What am I doing? I had hired a prostitute and paid U.S. $20 for the service. And is that the going rate? I've never hired a hooker before, but I can't imagine the going rate. $20? That can't be, I can't imagine you're getting high quality material for $20. Anyway, he paid $20 for the service at downtown nightclub. And here's the key. I don't know how she then became a donkey. Yeah, we don't either, pal. But boy, somebody really pulled one over on you, eh? Maybe the guy thought, maybe he bought a prostitute, and when he closed his eyes, somebody replaced it with a donkey. But again, the tying to the tree thing, that's the thing. He felt that, I have to imagine if you want to tie a prostitute to a tree to have sex with her, that's going to be at least another 20, or at least another 10. There's got to be extra fees involved. The magistrate kept him in custody, and also ordered that he be examined by two government psychiatrists. Well, yeah. Wow. So, clearly this guy never really got a lot of good practice as a young man in terms of covering your ass and getting a story done. So, anyway. That's about all the time I'm going to have for this week. Keep it short. Short show. But it's good to be back, and I hope to keep doing this again. I say that every time. I know that, but stick around. Watch the space. However you get the show, enjoy it. If you get it through iTunes, you know, please go up there, leave a comment, do something. Put a review, leave a comment. iTunes loves that. It helps me out. You can hit me up on Twitter at Bish24 if you have a comment or a question or an email. Email at bish24@gmail.com. That's all I got. Stay cool. Adios.